To anyone out there, it's never a good idea to walk alone at night, and it's never a good idea to accept a stranger's offer of a walk. I know this now, but 2 years ago, as I strolled through the park, I didn't think that anything could go wrong. I was enjoying the tranquility of the park when suddenly, I saw something ahead of me in the shadows. At first, I thought it might be nothing more than a stray animal, but as I drew closer, I began to make out what appeared to be a man. I grew nervous, chills running down my spine. Something about the way he was walking made me uncomfortable. But suddenly, he walked under a lamppost and a grin spread across my face. I knew this man. He was the father of one of my good friends, Lucy, and we'd all spent many afternoons in the park together. I put my previous fear aside and began to walk toward him again, my fear replaced with relief.
Hey, Mr. Castro. It's me, Clarissa.
Clarissa! It's been so long since we've seen each other. How you been? How are your parents?
His polite inquiries were comforting and my fears from before began to subside. We continued to walk together, engaging in pleasant conversation and reminiscing on our past family adventures. I relaxed as we continued to walk, enjoying the late night air. Despite this, the conversation soon took a turn for the worse and began to make me feel uncomfortable.
So, Clarissa, are you seeing anyone special yet? You know, I'm always willing to give advice.
He licked his lips and leered at me.
Thanks, but I'll pass.
Well, it's your loss. Come, let me show you something.
The implication cleared. I had forgotten my previous fear as I hesitantly followed him down a dark alley, his grip on my arm tightening as he led me forward. We eventually came to a stop and I looked around in confusion, not sure why we were there. Suddenly, his hands were on my shoulders, pushing me up against the wall. His lips were on my neck and I instinctively recoiled, screaming for help.
Help! Somebody! Please help me!
Shut up! It's too late! Nobody is out right now! Stop struggling or I'll hurt you!
He began to tie me up and I knew that if I didn't get free soon, this would be the end for me. With a burst of strength, I managed to break free and ran towards the park as fast as I could. I could hear him cursing behind me. I hid in a bush, my heart pounding as I tried to remain silent. I could hear him storming around, his footsteps thudding as he ran.
Clarissa, come back! I just want to talk!
He began rummaging through the bushes directly next to the public bathroom in the park. I whimpered, trying my best to stay hidden. All he had to do was look through the bushes I was hiding in, and I was finished. I stayed hidden, though. He was right next to me, and I clamped my hands over my mouth, trying my best not to move. I could see him from my hiding place in the bush. His wild and scraggly hair hung limply from his balding head, his weird eyes greenish in the moonlight. The black dots in the center of his eyes darted to and fro, trying to find me. His hulking form stood looming over the park, like an omen of death. He walked off, but I could still hear him shouting out my name and calling for me to come out.
Clarissa! Clarissa!
Finally, it grew quiet and I knew he had gone for now. I crawled out from my hiding place and ran to my car, quickly getting inside and driving home. When I arrived at my house, however, I saw something that made me sick. Out front in my yard, a hulking figure stood, his eyes wild as he stared into my windows. The hair was unmistakable, and I knew in an instant that it was Castro. I cursed myself now for inviting him and his daughter over to my house before. He knew where I lived, backing my car into an alleyway before he could see me. I quickly dialed the police.
Hello? Yes, please send help. There's a man outside my house that I'm afraid of. He's been following me and trying to abduct me.
I gave them the address and they promised to be there soon. Looking out of my window, I saw Castro beginning to walk away from my house, his form becoming more and more mysterious in the night. I waited patiently for the police, praying that he wouldn't get away before they got here. When they arrived, we looked around the area, but he had vanished as if into thin air. After searching for his car, however, they found something that made my stomach churn. Inside the trunk, the police found women's clothing and bags full of trinkets. The police quickly got a search warrant and searched his house. It was in the news a few days later. Several young women had been held captive in his house for years. I couldn't believe I had nearly fallen victim to a serial abductor. I shivered at the thought of how close I had become to being one of those poor girls, never seeing the light of day again. I've learned my lesson. Anyone who thinks that these abductions don't happen is foolish. You need to be aware of your surroundings, and you need to be careful of who you trust. That's something I will never forget. Even if you think you know someone, be cautious. It could save your life.
The story you just saw is based on the true, terrifying story of Ariel Castro. Ariel Castro was a serial killer who kidnapped three girls between 2002 and 2004. These three girls were held hostage in his house until 2013, when they escaped. During this time, one of the women had a daughter. Castro kidnapped these women by inviting them for drives and then kidnapping them. After being caught, Castro was sent to 1,000 years in prison without the possibility of parole. I've always heard creepy stories about serial killers and home break-ins, but I never actually thought it would happen to me. Last summer, before my semester exams were scheduled to start, I decided to go stay with my parents for a while. My dad was a district attorney and my mom a politician. They were a match made in heaven. They were also very busy with work, as you would imagine, so they weren't always home. As usual, they had business to attend to that weekend, so I was left all alone in the house. It was great news, or so I thought. That evening, I was watching a show on TV. Suddenly, the show was interrupted by a breaking news report. Notorious serial killer Manuel Ortiz, aka Machete Manuel, has just escaped from prison, and his whereabouts are currently unknown. Residents are advised to lock their doors and remain within their homes at least till the next morning. The news then went on to show the picture of the psychotic serial killer that had just escaped. Just his looks were enough to make my blood curdle. He had tattoos inked all over his face, neck, and body. He even tattooed his eyeballs deep black to give himself a more demonic look. Platinum-colored grills lined the front of his teeth, and he had self-inflicted scars all over his hands, one for each person he had killed. My throat ran dry and my thoughts ran riot as I imagined the possibility of him coming to our home, especially since my dad was the district attorney that put him away. Of course, that was after he had already killed, dismembered, and mutilated about 30 people with his famous machete. I wasn't going to take any chances. I triple-checked the doors and slammed the window shut. Before heading upstairs to hopefully do some studying, I left our dog Bruno on the living room carpet. That's where he liked to sleep. I bolted the doors to my room and hit the reading table. I was so scared out of my mind, I had to speak to myself to stay sane. Calm down, Lucas. Even if he did come here, there's no way he could get in. I intended to read throughout the night, but I dozed off 5 minutes after. Later that night, I was awakened by the sound of water running from a faucet onto a sink. My drowsy eyes beamed at the alarm clock on the table. The time was 11:35. Crap, I must have left the water running. I would have just ignored the sound, but then I heard frantic barks. Why is Bruno barking? I asked myself as I slowly walked down the stairs, one lethargic stride at a time. My feet felt like sandbags were tied to them, and my vision was blurry. It was a miracle I didn't end up barrel rolling down the stairs. Suddenly, Bruno's barking waned into a whisper, like the moaning of a wounded animal, and then it stopped abruptly.
Bruno? Bruno! Here, boy!
I whispered as I arrived at the foot of the stairs, but there was no response. At this point, my heart was beating fast, but nothing could have prepared me for what happened next. Suddenly, the lights went out and everything was pitch black.
Oh God, what's going on?
I whispered to myself as I flipped the light switches repeatedly. Luckily, I had my phone with me, so I turned on its flashlight and then made my way into the living room.
Is anyone here? Hello? Bruno, are you there?
I yelled out, hoping, begging for this nightmare to just end. Suddenly, I heard the window slam. The jolt it gave me was enough to drive sleep away from my eyes.
Is somebody there? Hello?
I called out again to no one in particular. Bruno was no longer in the living room. I walked towards the front door, and that was when I saw it. The locks were broken, and the door was wide open. I also noticed that other houses in the neighborhood had lights in them, so someone must have cut the power to my house. I made my way toward the basement door to check our fuse box. I arrived at the fuse box, which was right behind the basement door. I was shocked to find that it had been switched off. I obviously didn't do it, so I had no doubt that there was someone else in the house with me. I flipped the switch and the lights came back on. Oh, thank God, I whispered to myself. But just before I could breathe easy, I looked towards the kitchen and standing right at the entrance was a man with a machete. A man who, without a doubt, was Machete Manuel.
Hola, cabrón. I just have one question for you. Is your jefe home?
Manuel grunted from across the room with a distinct Hispanic accent. I, however, was so petrified I couldn't say a word. I couldn't even move.
Are you deaf or something, pendejo?
He barked and then charged towards me. Without thinking, I slammed and locked the basement door and then ran down the stairs. I heard the door shake and quake as Manuel tried to break in. I tripped over something at the foot of the stairs and crashed to the floor. My phone had also fallen out of my hand and the light had gone out. I rose to my feet. The basement was dark, but after a few misplaced slaps across the wall, I was able to hit the light switch. And that's when I saw it. Bruno's lifeless body sprawled on the floor of the stairs. He must have been strangled to death.
Bruno! Oh God! Why is this happening?
I could still hear his heavy footsteps stomping around upstairs.
I can't find my phone. Oh God, what am I gonna do?
Just then, I noticed the basement window. I quickly crawled through it and then ran over to our neighbor's house. I pounded on his door until he opened up.
You gotta help me! The serial killer, he's at my house right now!
The neighbor was the head of the neighborhood watch, so gathered a few other men and they went over to my house. Each man was armed with a shotgun and a rifle. When they got there, they found nothing but muddy boot prints and dirt stains. Afterward, they called my parents and the police. Not long after, we moved to a different house. It's been over a year now, and I still find it hard to sleep at night. Especially when I remember they still haven't caught him.
My name is Dina, and I'm a huge horror fan. Well, at least I used to be, to be honest. All my love for the genre disappeared in one night. You see, that night, I was alone in my house. I had just moved in and still had a lot of unpacked boxes. It was a Saturday night and I thought I would spend the evening watching a horror movie. But before I could choose one, I got a call.
Hello, Dina. Do you like horror movies?
Dude, really?
What's wrong, my friend?
First of all, you're not intimidating at all. Second, do you really want to scare me by imitating Scream? There are literal parodies of that movie.
You should have more respect for someone who knows where you live, Dina.
Mr. Psycho, I regret to inform you that we are now in the 21st century. I would be disappointed if you didn't even know my birthday. I'm gonna keep looking for a movie. You're better off trying to scare a boomer. Bye-bye.
Once I cut him off, I laughed a little under my breath. I've gotta admit it. It didn't scare me, but it did entertain me. What I didn't know was that my fun was about to end. Suddenly, a stone smashed against my glass. I ran to the window, but there was no one there. And as I approached the stone, it had a message on it.
Hello? Listen to me. You better...
No! You listen to me. You cut me off again, and I'll break you in half. Understand?
What do you want?
You said you knew Scream, didn't you? You know what I want? Fame.
Well, you're looking for it with the wrong person. Get out of here! I'll call the police.
Do you think I'll give you time to do that?
Where are you?
Watching you, Dina. Watching you walk nervously in that blue t-shirt.
Hearing this, my first instinct was to run as far as I could. I headed towards my room, but the man's voice stopped me.
Are you sure about that? He might be there.
Suddenly, I stopped. Was he telling me not to go? Or maybe he's telling the truth and he's really there. I decided to ignore my room and go upstairs. I went into the guest room and hid. The place was full of boxes. Darkness surrounded the whole area and it was impossible to see anyone.
What a curious place you chose to hide, Dina.
I know you're not here. You don't know where I am.
You think you're clever, but you hid in the most predictable place possible, dear friend.
Oh yeah? If you were in this room, then how did you know how I was dressed?
Don't you remember the movie, Dina? It's never just one killer.
The man was in front of me, brandishing a huge knife in his hand. The design was similar to Scream, but this one was scarier. The man approached me slowly. His steps were terrifying. This man knew he had this situation under control, and I was nothing more than prey. I threw a box at him to stop him and ran for the door. Instead of running, I waited behind the door, and when he came out, I hit him with it. I ran towards the exit, but before I got there, the door opened. Behind it, there was another man with a different mask, but similar to that of his companion. I turned around and saw that the other man was coming down the stairs. I was locked in, and my only way out was the basement. I ran and hid under the stairs while one of them came down. The man began to walk slowly, inspecting every part of the basement slowly. He knew I was here, but he couldn't find me. I thought about trying to hit him to defend myself, but because of our physical difference, I knew that would not end well. But once the man got to where I was, he stopped and turned around. The stalker started looking for the basement lights. This was my chance to escape. I pushed him and climbed the stairs, locking him in as soon as I could get up. But that wasn't the end of it.
Good job, Dina.
As soon as I turned around, the other man lunged at me and tried to hit me. I managed to dodge him and started to run. But he was faster than me. He grabbed me by the hair and threw me against the counter, hurting me with the kitchen stuff.
I have to tell you the truth, Dina. My friend is not the smartest of the bunch. I'll deal with him later. What's a great movie without a betrayal, right?
It's just a movie! What makes you think it'll all work out the same way?
Of course it will! And unlike a movie, it doesn't have to end. I'll be famous. I'll get letters. People will recognize me. I'll be bigger than Manson.
I wasn't going to let this psycho hurt me. During his speech, I reached out my hand to see what I could grab to defend myself. And as luck would have it, I found something perfect.
You wish!
He may have had a mask, but he still had an opening for me to see through. I poured oil spray through this opening, and as I expected, the man went berserk, swinging his knife sporadically, unable to hit anyone. I rammed him as hard as I could, and while he was on the floor, I ran for the exit. On the way, the basement door gave way and the other man started chasing me from behind. But this chase didn't last long. A police cruiser was outside my house. As soon as they saw the man chasing me, the officers stopped him. I was finally safe. I warned them that the other criminal was inside the house, but they couldn't find him. He had escaped through the back door, but he didn't get far, as his partner ratted him out. Both of these guys were old neighbors, and they really had intended to murder me. They were both convicted of attempted murder, and by the time they got out, I'll be prepared if I have to deal with them again. That was the last day I watched a horror movie. I admit that I've tried to watch them, but I find it impossible. Every time I do, I remember those two psychopaths trying to kill me. They may not have made it big, but for what they did to me that night, I will remember them forever.